Well, worship team, that was great. And I am a child of God, and I praise God that I am one of His children indeed. Now, I could go home already and just be blessed without a message, but I know that you would be very disappointed if I did that, so I do have something in store for us. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support of this church in every way. You know, I was at the auction last night, the silent auction and the dinner, and I saw people going around. You know, it was all for a good cause of going to the mission field, and I just praise God because we have some of the most wonderful people in the entire world, and I just praise God for you. It's an honor to be one of your pastors. It's an honor to serve God with you and be a part of the family of the Lord. If you have your Bible today, turn to the scripture, and it's found in the book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and I'll just read verse 11 for right now. We'll be referring to the other verses later on in my message. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Here Jeremiah writes, and of course it's the word of God that he is proclaiming. It's a message that he has from God. And God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege it's ours again to be in your house. We're thankful for this, thy people who love you, Lord, and want to serve you in every way. We pray, God, that you would bless and take everything that's already been said and done and use it for your honor and your glory. And we just pray, God, that you would bless the message today. May it go forth, Lord, and find receptive ears and receptive minds. We know that you speak to us, and we thank you, God, for a wonderful God that loves us so much that you give us directions each and every day of our life when we call upon you. Lead, God, and direct us, we do pray. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, today's scripture is very important because it deals with God speaking to his people. And that's always a wonderful thing to know that God does speak and God does give us his messages indeed. Now, God spoke on this occasion in which the children of Israel were very discouraged, or the Israelites were very discouraged because they were in captivity, they were in bondage. And I'm sure that that was a very difficult thing for them to endure, but they got a message from God himself that said, "I'm going to help you, I'm going to bless you, I'm here with you, and ultimately I'm going to deliver you." Now, anytime we hear from God, that's a wonderful thing, but he says here, "I have a plan for you." When they thought perhaps, you know, they didn't have any future, he said, "I have a plan for you, and I'm going to prosper you and not harm you. I'm going to give you hope, and I'm going to give you a future indeed." So God was speaking here. Now, you know, God speaks in many ways, the Bible tells us. He speaks to mankind. He has many ways of speaking to us. He says that he speaks through nature. And any time that you get up in the morning, you see the sun rise, or you see it go down in the afternoon, or you look at the beauties of the world and nature. And Jill and I spent some time in Florida right at the beach, and, you know, I saw the ocean every day. That is a testimony that God is, that a being greater than us, that God has created these things, and he's saying to you, "I love you, and I'm aware of your needs and your situations." And God speaks in other ways as well. In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets, the Bible says. In the latter days, he spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks to us through the Bible, and he gives us the directions that we need to be successful in life, to find his plan for our life. So God has many ways of speaking to us. But on this occasion, his message was from the prophet Jeremiah. Now, as I said, it was a prophet, it was a message of encouragement. He assured them that though they were in captivity, that he was aware of their needs, that he would be there to help them, and ultimately he would give them total deliverance indeed. Now, our first point is this. God's message was three things. First of all, it was a message that was very positive. And, you know, it was good for them to hear this at this low moment in their life, as they were perhaps had given in to fear and despondency and all these other things, and wondering what was going to happen to them. It was good news and to their ears to hear that God cared for them, that God loved them, and He was going to bless them in a very special way. Now, you know, it's good, as I said, any time that we can hear from the Lord, but remember this. This was a very positive message. Jeremiah didn't say, "Now listen, God is mad at you. God is very distressed with you because you sinned and you disobeyed the Lord God, and He allowed you to go into captivity, and you're getting just exactly what you deserve." Now, he could have said that because it would have been true. However, he didn't say that. He said, "I want you to know that you're loved by God. God cares for you. God is going to be with you here during this time of captivity, and eventually, after 70 years, it turns out, they were going to be delivered." So first of all, God had a message that was very positive. Now I know that there are people who view God as being very negative and very judgmental in all of this. Some say that, you know, He's a God of wrath and He loves to punish people. And the Bible is negative, some people say. But nothing could be further from the truth. But even though the Bible says there is a hell, even though it says that God will punish sin, first and foremost, the Bible tells us something positive, that God loves us, and there's a plan of salvation. We can get forgiveness of sin, and we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So that's a very positive thing. So God was given a message to Israel as they were in Babylonian captivity, and it was very positive. Second of all, it was a personal message. God directed His words to people who needed it the most. And it was a time that, as I said, they were discouraged, they were down and out, but God had a way of speaking just directly to them. And you know, God is a very personal God. You realize that? Now, I know that we live in a very impersonal world. You're just a number. You're just a figure to some people. You're just, you know, something, you're somebody that they can make a sales to or something like this. But God is very personal. God knows our name. God knows everything about us. He knows our strong points, our weak points. He knows when we're troubled. He knows when we're having difficulty. The Bible says He knows us so well that the hairs on our head are numbered. Now, I don't have as many as I used to, and they've turned a different color. Believe it or not, I had very dark hair, but it's turned over the years, but God knows all about us. So He was speaking in a positive way to the children of Israel. He was speaking in a personal way to them. And God is like that. He cares for the individual. He counts by ones. And then thirdly, it was a very timely message. It was exactly what they needed to hear at a low point in their life. So God thinks like this. God speaks like this. It's very positive, it's very personal, and it's very timely. God knows what we need exactly when we need it indeed, and that is very important. God is never late. God is always just exactly on time. This is what they needed to hear, when they needed to hear it, when it would do them the most benefit indeed. Now, God's message to Israel at this time was like a sunlight in the midst of a stormy day. You know, we had rain for several days. It was dark. It was gloomy. But yesterday the sun came out, and I think it made us all feel a little bit better. But this message was very positive. It was a light that they needed to see. It was a message that they needed to hear very much, that God is still aware of your needs, and I'm going to give you strength, I'm going to give you grace in the present time, and in the future, everything will be over, and God will have the ultimate victory. Now, they were discouraged because of the troubles that they were having. And when it comes to troubles, everybody has them. Matter of fact, trouble comes to everyone in many forms. First of all, there are general troubles that everybody experiences. We have our ups in life, and then there's things that happen to us that can kind of discourage us. And this is true with all mankind. You look at the world, and every country has problems just like we do. Every country has prisons. Every country deals with lawbreakers. Every country deals with drug addicts. Every country deals with poverty. And all the problems that we have here in America are worldwide. As a matter of fact, they generally have greater problems than we do. Second of all, we must realize this, that sometimes these troubles come our way. They come to us. And no one is immune. Everybody has difficulties in their life. And when they come, it should draw us closer to God and make us more aware of God's presence than causing us to give up and ask ourselves, where is God and why has He allowed me to end up in this situation? Now, as I said, when it comes to problems, they come to us. And as a matter of fact, no one is immune from problems. You're not so healthy that you can't become sick. Isn't that true? Have you known people that seem strong, that seemed in very good health? All of a sudden they went to the doctor and he said, well, I'm sorry, you have an advanced sickness and situation and there's very little that we can do. You have a limited amount of time. Nobody's job is so secure that it cannot be gone. Especially in today's economy, and especially the way that the world is today, businesses are not just in our country. They're global. They're worldwide. And someone in another country may make a decision that affects you and your job and your situation. And one day you feel secure, and the next day you don't have that. So we simply don't know what's going to happen. When it comes to our finances, no one has so much money that they can't lose it, and lose it very quickly. Of course, the Depression of 29 was very tragic, but we've had ups and downs in our economy over the years. People have lost millions of dollars and even billions of dollars just in a short period of time. So nothing is secure. We all have troubles. We all have difficulties. But let's remember this. That even though we have troubles and even though we have difficulties sometimes, this does not mean that we have sinned, that we have done something against God. Look in the Bible and you'll find that many wonderful people and godly people suffered troubles and difficulties. There was Job, he was well known for this. Matter of fact, he was such a righteous man that God himself said, and these are the words of God, He said to Satan, he said, have you observed my servant Job? He's perfect and upright. He fears me and he despises evil. That's quite a statement from God himself. But it was true. But did it mean that he didn't have difficulty later in his life? We know that he lost everything, all of his possessions. We know that he lost his children. We know that he lost his health. We know that he lost the respect of his friends. One day he had everything. One day he was the richest man of the East. Everything was going well. And the next day, just all of a sudden, the Bible says, just one after the other, tragic events happened. And he was left with nothing. His health was gone. Everything else was gone. Throughout the Bible, we find this. Joseph. The Bible does not make a negative statement ever about Joseph, one of the few people that it doesn't say something negative about them or exposes some sort of sin that they did. But as a young boy, a 17-year-old boy, we know that his brothers were jealous of him and sold him into Egyptian bondage. Of course, God was using this in order to later on save the entire nation of Israel, but Joseph had no knowledge of that. But even though he was a righteous person, he still had troubles. John the Revelator lost his life ultimately on the Isle of Patmos, was exiled there, but God used him to write the book of Revelation. John the Baptist was a very righteous person, prepared the way for the coming of Jesus Christ himself. But even though he was a preacher of righteousness, even though he warned the people to repent, even though he was man enough to stand against the ruler of the day and say it is not right for you to have your brother's wife, he lost his life for it. So he experienced troubles. Jesus himself was not immune from difficulty, even though he was an absolutely perfect person. So when it comes to troubles and difficulties, everyone has them. And in our scripture for today, this was written about 550 years before Christ, Israel was suffering, the people of Israel were suffering greatly because the majority of them had been carried from their homeland to the nation of Babylon. They were there for a period of time, and they did not, the nation was filled with pagans, and they worshiped idols and all of this. They did not honor God in that nation. The Israelites did not speak the language. They did not know the customs. They did not have any personal rights. They did not have any civil rights or any of these things. They had lost their freedom. They had lost their nation. All these things were going against them. And I'm sure that they were wondering why. Why has this happened? Why has this happened to us? As I said, they had disobeyed God, and that was the reason, but still, I'm sure many of them did not fully realize what they had done or the severity of the things that they had done. Now, you know, the Jews had felt that they were above this. Many of them probably did, because God had always been on their side before. God had always delivered them. He delivered them from Egyptian bondage, and they knew about that and what had happened, how God miraculously intervened for them against the greatest nation of the world at that time, had held them captive for about 400 years. And one day God spoke to Moses and said, "You go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And of course, Pharaoh was not about to do this, but God intervened, and eventually they were delivered. God delivered them, and they were able to start out toward the promised land. Once they got to the Red Sea, they turned around and they saw some great Pharaoh's army coming against them. And God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed across on dry land. They went to the city of Jericho, and God miraculously caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. They got to Israel, and they faced or the promised land, and they faced giants there, but God delivered them. So God had delivered them so many times, they probably thought that they were immune from trouble and difficulty, but this time, this was not the case. So here they were wondering why this has happened. They were wondering when it was going to end, and God spoke a positive message to them that said, "I am with you. I am going to help you. I have not forgotten you. I am on your side. And if you'll just believe in me, everything will be well." Now here's what the entire scripture of this says. It begins in verse 4 of chapter 29. God said to those people, "This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I have carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." He tells the people this. He said, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city which I have carried you. And if it prospers, you will prosper. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you. You will go back to your place." Then he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you. The plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future." Point number two is this. What valuable lessons can we learn from this scripture? What can we learn from this that will benefit us and cause us to be more the kind of people that God wants us to be? First of all, we should learn this. When things go bad in our life, don't become bitter and don't blame God. Now, does that ever happen? Some people, You know, they're fine. They tell you how much they love the Lord. And I've known people like this down through the years. They'll tell you how excited they are to be God's servants. As long as things are going well for them, as long as they're healthy, as long as their finances are solid, as long as, you know, everything is going well with their children. But you let trouble happen to them and they become angry. They become bitter even at God himself. I've known people that walked out of the church because they said, well, you know, it just doesn't pay me to serve the Lord. It doesn't pay me to come to church because look at the troubles that I have am having. But let's remember this, that as I said a moment ago, people have always had trouble. People have always had difficulties, etc. But we shouldn't ever become angry at God or blame God. It should, our troubles and difficulties should cause us to get closer to God and trust Him more than ever before, instead of going away from God and denying His presence and His promises indeed. Now, this was an example of Job's wife. This is what she had. Now, you know, we know all the troubles. I said just a moment ago, the troubles that came to Job. And he dealt with them very well. He dealt with them in faith. He said, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's a great statement for a person who had just lost everything. He said, I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of God. God is in control. But what did his wife do? She became very bitter. She became very angry. And she said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Now, here was a man who had lost everything, but he didn't lose his faith in God. And when our troubles, when our difficulties come our way, as I said, it should cause us to have greater confidence and greater belief and realize we need God's help instead of becoming upset at the Lord himself. So God said this, basically. He said, yes, you're here in captivity, but I'm here with you. And I want you to learn patience. I want you to learn to trust me and wait on the time that I think is best, the perfect time. He said, you'll be here basically for 70 years. And during this time, I want you to plant gardens and eat the fruit of those gardens. I want you to build houses. I want you to pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city that you're in, because if it prospers, you're going to prosper. And then eventually, 70 years from now, I am going to deliver you if you'll just wait upon me. Now, patience is something that most of us don't have enough of, including yours truly. We just don't have enough patience, particularly when things don't go our way. And we don't have the patience of Job. We don't have the patience that God wants us to. But we need, because God is in control, if we'll just wait on Him, everything will be well. So he says, I don't want you to become angry. I don't want you to become bitter. I want you to trust in me, and I want you to wait on my time. Second of all, we can learn this. God can turn bad things into good things. Realize that? He can turn the most negative thing into the most positive thing. And several good things happened to Israel while they were in Babylonian captivity. First of all, idol worship was finally broken. Idol worship. Now, God had already told Israel, first and the second commandment concerned, you know, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment says, don't make any graven image or likeness of anything like this and worship it. But people had done that in spite of God's warning. They had to worship Baal. They had worshiped Moloch, which was an idol. They had done those things. But once they got over there into Babylon, they saw the futility. They saw how that those sort of gods could not deliver anybody. It was foolishness to worship an idol. They finally got that lesson while they were there in that captivity among those idol worshipers. Second of all, God sent godly men in order to be a positive influence in that negative environment. You ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were young men, very young men, perhaps in their teen years. The king of Babylon says, I have made this golden image right here, and when you hear the sound, or you know, when the sound is given, I want everybody to fall down and worship it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no way. So the king said, listen, said, perhaps you didn't really understand what I was talking about, or the severity of the punishment that goes with this. And he said, if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, even though you throw us in the fiery furnace, they said, God is going to be with us. And if he delivers us, that's fine. But if not, we're still not going to worship your image or bow down and serve you. They had, of course, God delivered them. And the king himself was very amazed at the power of God during this time in order to raise them. Daniel came on the scene. He was thrown in the lion's den because he worshiped God. But he had a positive influence even upon the king himself. The Jews lived in peace during Babylon, during these times. And at least three books of the Bible were written during this Babylonian captivity. The book of Daniel, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. Fifthly, Daniel was made second in command to the king himself. But he was the main leader of the Magi. The magicians, so to speak. But they were men of wisdom. They were men of education. They were men of influence. And Daniel had great power over them, and he taught them about the Word of God. And we find this later on, much later on, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, three men came from the east saying, where is he that has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Where did they get that knowledge? Where did they get that? It was during that time of captivity. It was during that time that God was turning something even negative into something good for his honor and for his glory. Let's realize that many times the troubles that we go through has a greater purpose. And even the most difficult things that we go through in life still can be turned into something good. We can have a positive testimony because we have faith, because we have belief in God. There was a famous preacher once that was put in a hospital. Now, he was just in his 50s. He seemed to be in good health, but all of a sudden he became very sick. And they feared for his life, but they took him to the hospital. And he wondered why that this had happened to him. He wondered about it himself. But he thought, as long as I'm here in this hospital, I'm not going to become angry. I'm not going to become bitter. I'm going to become to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell others about his love. He stayed in that hospital, he said, for 3 weeks. And because his attitude was so positive, because he got a chance to tell about his faith in Jesus Christ, he said that when he left, as he was leaving, several nurses came to him, and a couple of doctors even came to him and said, you must be a man of God indeed because of the way that you have dealt with your sickness. Now, how do we deal with trouble? How do we deal with difficulty? Does it draw us closer to God? Does it make us a greater witness for God? Do we display faith in God? Or we just kind of give up and say, become angry and all these other good things? God is a God of the mountains. Let's don't ever forget that. God, when everything is going well for you, when you feel good, when your finances are solid, when your job is secure, when all these good things are happening to you, we're prone to say, you know, God is on the throne. God is blessing me. But God is the same God when you lose your job. God is the same job when you get sick, when things go reversibly for you, when things go the way that you wouldn't want them to. God is still in control. Let's believe it. The third thing that we get from this is that we are not alone. Don't ever forget that. We are not ever alone. And that should encourage us that no matter what we face, no matter the problems that we have, no matter the difficulties that may come our way, we don't have to face them by our own strength and our own power. We've got God on our side. God is always there with us. His power, His grace is sufficient to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Jesus told His disciples, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And they were very troubled about this, by the way, because they realized that His ministry was going to end. They had followed Him for 3 years. They had seen Him perform miracles. They knew that He was the Son of God. But He had told them, He said, now I'm going to go away. But He said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And they probably thought, how in the world can He say this? Because He's just told us He's going away. But Jesus assured them of this. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, the Holy Spirit will give you knowledge. The Holy Spirit will give you direction. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding. And that is important for us because that is the same era that we live in. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. That person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is in our hearts and our life. He will give us direction. He will give us help. He will give us the presence of the Lord God over any situation, over any difficulty that we face. The psalmist wrote this. He said, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I attended a funeral service the other day, or at least I went to the funeral home the night before the service, of Brian Lee. And by the way, that's Rodney and Christine's son-in-law, Rodney and Christine Franklin's son-in-law, 42 years old. Had been sick for 2 years, had all kinds of treatments and so forth, but the other day, last week, he passed away, 42 years old. And he left behind a son and 2 daughters. And I went over there and, you know, tried to be a friend to them and let them know that I love them, that God loved them, and so forth. But one of the things that they amazed me with was this: their faith, their courage, their belief in God. And I just had to say, even though this is a real tragedy, God was with them. They were going on the strength and the power of God. It's a strong family. A very strong family, and their faith is very solid, very strong. And I trust that when the worst problems come to our life, that we'll feel the very same way, that we're not alone. We don't have to face them alone. God is there with us. And with His help, we can be victorious over any situation or circumstance. Fourthly, we must have faith. We must always have faith. First of all, in God's power. You know, God is an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God. He's greater than our problems. He's greater than our difficulties. He's greater than, he was great enough to create the world in just a few days. The situations that we face are just very minor with God. We don't have to face life just by ourselves. But we can depend upon the power of God to help us and ultimately deliver us. We must have faith in God's promises. You know, God has promised us many things to deliver us, to help us, to give us grace, to give us strength, to be there with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. He's always present. God has a plan for every one of us. I don't know what God's plan is in every way, but He states right here, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you, to prosper you, not harm you, not hurt you, but to give you hope and to give you a future. Fifthly, God will give us deliverance and victory if we stay true to Him indeed. Now, this was God's message. This was God's message to Israel while they were in Babylonian captivity. But this is a message that God is giving to the world today, and He's giving to you today, and He's giving to me today. I have plans for you. I have plans for you to prosper you, to bless you. I have you in my mind. I want to bless you. I want to give you hope. I want to give you a future. Do we really believe that? I trust that we do. Let's go forth today. Let's go forth out of this building, know that God has a plan for us. He has never forgotten us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He will always be there by our side. And because of Him, we can have victory now and for all eternity. Let us pray. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for all blessings. We know that this was a message from you, God, to ancient Israel. But it's a modern message that you speak. May we make application of that in our own hearts, in our own life, our own situation. God, we don't face captivity in Babylon, but we face other problems. Help us to know that you're aware of our sufferings, our needs, our difficulties, our adversities. Help us to know that you're there by our side. Help us to know that you're greater than any of the things that we face. But Lord, that we can have deliverance, we can have victory if we trust in you. Guide and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, I wonder if there's anyone today who would just like to say, pray for me because I want to be assured even more of God's presence in my life. Would you raise your hand and just say, pray for me? Pray for me. I want to claim His victory. I want to have more faith. I want to draw closer to God. I believe that I'm one of His children. He is with me every day. May God bless you. May God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you today. We praise you today because you're such a great and wonderful God. Lord, you're a personal God. You're a positive God. You're a timely God. Your message, Lord, applies to the world. It applied to ancient Israel, and it applies to us today. Whatever we're facing, God, we pray that our faith in you would be strong. Even in the most difficult times, the darkest days, God, we pray that we would allow you, God, to turn those times of possible, Lord, defeat into great victories. That we'd never become negative, God, but we would become very positive and realize that you can bring great victory in our life. Bless us in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken.